buddy. So, nice rig. Wow. Okay, I want to ride in that thing. Hello.
Hello, are you single?
Single?
Where was that sign? Hello. Hello. Is there a sign?
We have a photo booth for the whole wedding thing.
Oh,
that
we're
says,
regressing.
Because we... You know, they're getting engaged, but for the photo booth, we have a sign that says, hello, my name is single.
Yeah.
That's what we need that,
we need
right,
that
now,
right now.
Single? Middle-aged? What the f***?
Cheers, right. Dolly.
Oh.
Cheers.
Cheers, Dolly.
Salute. Mm.
What are we drinking?
What are we drinking? I am drinking my favorite and only spirit in a can that I drink is Cutwater, and this one is pineapple margarita. Delicious.
It's actually very good.
Yeah.
I'm a mule girl. I like Cutwater Mule, but I am drinking the pineapple margarita. However, this is how different we are. She's drinking it out of a can and sitting in a yoga position.
You know, I'm doing I'm in the lotus. I'm in the dolly position with my drink out of a can. And I look over and this one's got sparkly shoelaces, legs crossed, very ladylike, and drinking out of a solo cup with ice. Yeah.
That's how we roll.
This is how we
do it. Seriously, this is how we do it. Yay.
Okay, where are we?
Is Ironwood, what's it called?
Ironwood Desert Resort.
Yeah.
Out in Ocotillo Wells near Borrego Springs. And we are here for a super special weekend. My daughter is getting engaged this afternoon or this evening at sunset. She has no idea we're here. And we decided to drive out here. And I brought everything so that we could do like a podcast out at this desert, little tiny desert resort. They come out here all the time and ride their little side-by-side and their buggies and stay in the desert. And they have an RV out here.
It's super cute, though.
It's so cute. There's like, you can see behind us, like there is so many, I don't know, there's actual like streets you can drive up and down where people keep their RVs here all year round and come out here and do this all the time. Like the desert thing is like a thing. And what's really cool is I used to do this with Bria's dad when we first met, when we were dating. This was like our thing way back in the day. So and we used to come out here and the little bar out here that's called Ironwood. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to go there, but it's called the Iron Door. It's like this tiny little dive bar in the middle of the desert, the middle of nowhere. It's still here after like 30 some plus years. It's still here.
We love a good dive bar.
Oh, I love a good dive bar. Oh my gosh. And so yeah, we decided let's do a little episode while we're here. This is our first road trip together, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. That is a fact. Did very well. Should we share our I don't know if you can see this.
I don't know if you can see this. Can they see it? But, you know, we've got, you know, cheese and crackers
on our make-believe table.
We are so ghetto fabulous right now. It's amazing.
This is pub cheese with horseradish.
Yes, and our table is like, you know, a little cooler, you know. So we thought we'd get out here. And we were talking about something on the way out here that I was like, we have to talk about this. Irrational fears. Like irrational fears. Oh my God. You have big ones. I have some too. But when we were talking about her irrational fears, holy crap, you've got to tell the bear story. Tell the bear story.
Oh, okay. So how did that come up about the bear?
Okay, so we're driving here and we're driving through the country. And I feel like at the end of it all, I'm going to sort of end up living in the country. At some point. And I said, the next time we have a girls' weekend, we should rent a cabin up in Julian, because we just had this retreat getaway for my team, for my company, up in Julian. It was beautiful and it was peaceful and it was in the middle of nowhere and I loved it because I live in the city and it's noisy and it's dirty and it's opposite of that, right? So I'm like, yeah, we should do Julian. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of deathly afraid of bears. I'm like, wait, what? Okay, you take over.
So I don't know where this came from, but another girlfriend of mine during the pandemic, we flew out to see our friend out in Colorado. She and her husband have a beautiful home, but it's out there off the main street. And I was on, so their home is the ground floor where the garage is, there's a bedroom, a bathroom outside the bedroom, and then it's kind of like a living room fireplace area with this huge sliding glass door that goes out to the patio. And then you go upstairs and that's the main living. Well, I took the downstairs bedroom. Somehow I freaked myself out, convinced a bear was going to crash through the sliding glass door waiting there for me.
I can't.
What?
Nothing. I said I can't. Like, I can't believe this.
I know. I don't know where it came from. So I was petrified. I'm like, I can't leave my bedroom to go to the bathroom. Like, petrified, paralyzed, fear. And I was like, where the hell is this coming from? So the next morning, I went upstairs and I'm sharing the story. And then we're all sitting outside at night around the fire pit on the second story deck. And Brian was out there, that's her husband, was, and he went inside. So then it's just us three girls, and I'm like, I got so scared. I was like, you guys, I cannot sit here any longer. I know for a fact a bear is going to come up those stairs.
Wait. This part you left out on the drive here. You were on the second story? I thought you were on the porch.
I think so. Well, no, my room was on the, we were on a porch. We were on a patio deck area.
On the ground floor or on the upper deck?
Upper, because I swore.
So you're still thinking that the bear is going to climb
up the stairs? No, come up the stairs.
Oh,
irrational fear. Remember what the name of this?
I'm not laughing at her. I'm with you.
No, I know you're not.
I'm not. I'm just thinking. I can't.
I know I can't either. They couldn't either. They're like, what the hell, Terry? I was so scared. I said, you guys, I cannot sit out here any longer and be comfortable. Like, I was freaked the fuck out. So we went inside.
And I'm thinking, so I'm telling her, I'm like, bears don't act, that's not bear behavior. Like, they're not gonna, they might cruise across the front yard. I watch a lot of, I'm Dolly, remember? I watch a lot of National Geographic, so this is like not what I would consider normal. I've never heard about bear behavior like this. Maybe an aggressive bear that's in an area that their habitat is being decreased, which is definitely happening all over the place, and they're desperate for food. But I don't think they're going to charge three people on a porch that's lit to come
eat you. I know, and
you
know what's funny is I'm sitting here now, and I'm like, you're right, they won't. Yeah, but no. When I was there, I was so scared. Yeah. It's like we talked about, there's fear that's paralyzing.
Yes,
I could not sit out at the fire pit any longer with my girlfriends and feel comfortable. I was like, nope, we have to go inside. I can't do it. I'm going inside. So we all went inside.
Yeah.
So when you say, oh, let's go out to Julian or Big Bear, I'm like, oh,
yeah, she told
Lord.
Me, she's like, no, I can't.
Like,
we are not going to do that.
That
so
just,
then I said, well,
can
what
we just
about
go somewhere
tropical? And I'm like, yeah, we'll go somewhere tropical.
Oh, God.
We'll go somewhere where there's an ocean and we'll go swimming. And she says, well, I can't really go. I don't like to swim in the ocean. So tell them about sharks.
I know. I'm terrified. Okay, what I will say, though, pretty much anyone that knows me knows I'm terrified of sharks. And that whole movie, Jaws, the very opening scene, sealed the deal. And not just for me. It sealed a deal for a lot of people. But that definitely, I can tell you hands down, that happens. We know it does. It just, I don't know.
And in my mind, I'm thinking all that was fake. That was a fake shark. That was a fake everything. I've been to Universal Studios and saw the shark that they used in that movie. That thing is like the most mechanical fake shark I've ever seen. And I've jumped off cliffs into the ocean, and I've jumped off boats into the ocean, and yes, I know there's shark there, but it's such a one in a gazillion that you're gonna land on a shark's face or something and it's actually gonna turn around and bite you. I mean, you're more likely that will happen if you're surfing, because you're in an area where you're just floating on top of your surfboard and you're in a black wetsuit and they sort of mistaken that maybe for some type of a seal or something like that, but they don't necessarily, you know, go after humans. They're not, I mean, I'm sure we're quite the snack, but yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought about it like that. I just jump off. Do I want to wade in the ocean and the water and just be like, you know, hanging out there for a while? No. But would I jump in? Yeah, I've done it a bunch of times. And then I asked her, we were in Hawaii. I was in Hawaii with my daughter, Bria. And we were in Hawaii, and my daughter was like, let's do a shark cage. So we took a boat out into the middle of nowhere in the ocean, and we actually did the shark cage that they put us down in the ocean in a shark cage. Obviously we had, like, you know, the whole oxygen, the mask thing, whatever. And put us down under the water in this shark cage, and they throw chum out around the shark cage. These sharks, holy crap.
Aggressive.
They literally, well, they're not, I wouldn't say they're aggressive, but I would say they come, and at this point it's touristy, they know lunch is about to hit, you know, and so yeah, they're like, oh, here comes the tourists.
Oh,
want to be inside,
they know breakfast,
bring
lunch
cage.
And dinner. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, be right here when this boat arrives with all these tourists that think it's cool to be in a shark cage. So anyway, we show up, they throw the chum out, like, within, like, from me to you, away from the cage. And, of course, I'm right up at the bars. Bria's right up at the bars. They throw the chum. These sharks are coming, like, this close to the cage with their mouths and their teeth, like, opening, like, getting this chum, like, right in front of us. Like, it was the coolest thing. Oh, my God, I loved it.
Nope. That's a big hell no from this dolly. Never happening. However,
but it's a cage, they can't get to you.
That's a lie.
And they're beautiful. They're so beautiful.
Debatable.
Oh my God. Okay.
Debatable.
Yeah.
However, I will tell you, I mean, I snorkel. I do. I snorkel. But everyone, all my friends know, if you snorkel with Terry, you will never see a shark. God knows. God knows.
Oh.
Don't send a shark in Terry's vision.
Okay, so we were in Australia, Bri and I, and we were snorkeling. We were at the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, wow.
And we were snorkeling at the Great Barrier Reef, and Bria is just like you. Like, deathly afraid of sharks, right? So we're out at the Great Barrier Reef, and of course, I'm like, you know, I just think everything is just cool. And she sees a reef shark. Okay, so reef sharks are like the black tip sharks. They're cruising around the bottom. They're reef sharks. They have absolutely zero interest in humans whatsoever. They're not dangerous whatsoever. All I hear is, she's got the snorkel in her mouth.
That would be me.
She's absolutely panicking. I come up, I'm like, are you okay? Shark! I'm like, oh my God, no, get me back to the boat. I literally had to swim her back to the catamaran, help her get her up on the catamaran and get her set. She was so freaked out by the sight of a shark, even though this particular shark, and I tried to tell her, is absolutely harmless to humans. She was having no part of it. I had to swim her back to the boat, and the whole rest of the time, I just had to snorkel by myself with a bunch of strangers, which is fine. I mean, I saw a bunch of really cool fish, and I dove down because I saw this big puffer fish down there and decided to and it was like in a trap or something like that, but I wanted to get a close-up look, so I like held my breath and dove as far as I could down to like get the closest look at it I could. But I was out there snorkeling by myself for like an hour without her, and she's just chilling on the catamaran with a cocktail like, nope, saw a shark, I'm out, don't care what kind of shark, it was a shark, I'm out.
Now I have been snorkeling at Turks and Caicos, and I have seen nurse shark down, you know, at the bottom. We're up here. They're way down on the sand.
Yeah.
I was okay with that, but they were down there. Now, had one stirred and started moving or anything? Nope. I'd have been back on the boat, done. So she asked me if I would ever do,
cage.
What's it called? Cage.
Yeah.
Shark and cage, whatever. Yeah, shark cage. I said, no, I wouldn't go in the cage. But I would go on the boat. I love being on the water. I love being on the boat. I love that you love that.
I do.
And I would love to see, like, the whole show, for lack of a better word, of all of that. And when you come back up and how your adrenaline and how excited, like, tell me all about it. I want to know everything. But no, I don't want to be in the cage. I'm just a chicken. And I have huge anxiety. So we were talking,
because
I said at night, if I think about that at night, my heart races, I get uneasy, like I start stirring in my bed. It's weird. So it's just not comfortable
for me. And you were
me.
Saying, though, like you were, what I loved about this conversation on the way out here was that you were saying, like, you're aware that that is something that's remaining in sort of your cells or your soul in a way, that this could have been some sort of past life experience, whether or not our audience is in a past life or whatever, who knows what people are into, but you just never know. It's worth an exploratory conversation to say, where is this coming from? Could it be coming from sort of some other experience in some other place and time that has carried over? Who knows, right?
Right, because the anxiety is real, the heart race is real, the fear I feel just laying in bed if I think about it is real. So something's brought that on, and I have never encountered a shark ever in the water, nor will I probably ever, because I think God just knows.
99.99999% of people don't. Unless you're a National Geographic underwater photographer, then you come in contact with them. But, like, no, that is not something that occurs.
But here's the thing. We live in San Diego, and we do hear about shark attacks. However, I won't
but
go in
you're
San
not
Diego
a surfer.
Waters. What?
You're not out in the water as deep as, like, somebody that surfs.
You're so right.
It's like, we hear about sharks in San Diego. I'm like, sweetheart, you go in up to your kneecaps. Like, what is...
Barely. And the reason is the water's cold. It's not, you can't see. If I cannot see my feet when I'm in the water, I'm out. If it's not bath water, I'm out.
You realize that they don't cut, if they get that close to shore, they actually get stuck and die. Like, they're not going to come that close to shore.
You know, and here's a problem with social media and reels and TikTok and all that shit, because I've seen reels where the sharks have come up there, like in Florida, and they don't die. That's a different story. Doesn't relate to me. I know my chances of getting bit by a shark are so out there, but the fear is
real. The fear's
real.
I get it. And my fear, my biggest irrational fear, I don't even know if you know this.
I probably don't.
My biggest irrational fear is bridges. Like, I remember, I was
like
on a
crossing bridge.
Crossing a bridge. Driving across a bridge, walking across a bridge, anything to do with bridges. I love the way they look, and I like to photograph them,
like,
and I love
Madison
the architecture.
I
love everything about what it took. I'm amazed of how somebody came up with the idea of building a bridge, how that works, how that's sustained, how that structure is able to remain that way. And I mean, I'm amazed in so many ways. However, my irrational fear has always been, and piers too. It started when I was little. I remember my dad taking us to the Oceanside Pier, and
it shook.
Yeah, and it shook.
Yeah.
And I felt so unsafe on that pier.
I get that.
And when I go over bridges, I remember we were on a road trip from Dallas to, we were doing kind of a big loop. We were doing like Dallas to through Baton Rouge over to New Orleans, up through like Mississippi, Alabama, Nashville, across Arkansas, and then back to Dallas home. So we just this big loop road trip. So I'm a big road trip person. And so I was doing this with my daughter. We got stuck on the middle of the bridge crossing over by Baton Rouge in dead stop traffic on the middle of the bridge. I was sitting there on the middle of this bridge. I was white knuckling my steering wheel, begging for the traffic to move. The bridge is sort of swaying a little bit. I am almost hyperventilating. I'm having total anxiety. My heart's racing. My daughter's noticing it. She's like, Mom, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, I seriously have that same sort of irrational or semi even rational, because could a bridge collapse? Could something happen and that's it? Like, there I go. Like, but I mean, all I can see is like...
That's all you can picture in your head.
That's all
when
I can picture
in
my head. Is
when
like,
you're
there's
in the moment.
No way to,
yes.
There's no way...
Your fear is real.
Yeah, and even on a pier. Like, if the pier is going to collapse, like...
Can you swim?
There's no... I can swim, but I'm not going to be swimming if I'm getting hit in the
head
with
the
all...
board.
With pieces of wood and concrete, whatever the frick else is about to come down.
I know. You know what?
Like,
I Michelle,
can't.
I get it.
And I'm like, I see my car going over the side, like... Same, like you said, you're laying in bed and as you play, you can see the entire thing play out.
Yes.
Super irrationally. I'm on a bridge. I see the whole thing playing out. Like, but the bridge starts shaking. Then it starts cracking apart. Then one side of it, you know, goes and it starts curling down this way. I've seen way too many movies, right, where the fucking bridge gets...
And
the bridge collapses and it cracks in the middle and the side is going this way and this side's collapsing going this way and there's a big hole gap in the middle and guess what happens to me? I'm going over the edge and it's like there's no way to save that. Like it's done at that point.
You're dead.
That's my bit. You're dead.
It's over. The end.
That is my irrational fear is bridges. I've forever since I was little.
But
bridges.
A lot of people have fear of bridges. A lot of people have fear of sharks. A lot of people have fear of, I don't know if they have fear of bears, but we all have these fears. And it's like, where does this come from?
Yeah.
Because you were saying, up to age 7, something happens.
Yeah. I mean, from the ages of 0 to 7 is when we start to really develop our emotional responses to things. That's when we're really in that developmental stage of where we're developing our emotional responses to things. And so wherever your fear related to the bears or the sharks or whatever came from, I mean, that could be something that you saw, something that you read, some story that somebody told. Who knows where that could have came from, right? But I feel like it could have come from something like that. But I personally believe in past life experiences. I believe that stuff could be carried over. I do think you brought up a good point on the way here when you said it might be something that really legitimately happened to you in a past life, whether maybe your dad was a fisherman and you were out on a trip with your dad and something happened and you fell overboard and you have this crazy fear about the ocean and sharks, or in a past life you drown in the ocean. Like there's so many possibilities of where this sort of irrational fear was birthed, and whether or not it was birthed in this lifetime, or if you believe in past lifetimes, was it birthed in another lifetime? Is it being carried over? Is this something that she needs to heal and keep revisiting until she finally does heal it, for it to sort of subside and stop, stop being a menace in your life? Because it seems like it's a bit of a menace, right? What? Mine is when I cross a bridge, it's a full-blown menace. Like
I wouldn't say it's a menace because I do still snorkel. Yeah, I do. I still go out there. I mean, trust me.
Do you snorkel with total...
I'm totally
total
calm.
Unabandoned.
Yeah.
Like, you're not thinking about if I see a shark.
Okay, so I sit on the step. I won't jump off the boat. I sit on the step. They usually have a step, right? I'm usually the last one. Okay. So I sit on the step. First of all, breathing in water... We don't breathe in water.
We did that when we were in birthing canal.
I know, but...
In the tummy. We've been breathing...
a long ways away.
Girl, we've been breathing in water since conception. What are you talking about?
So for me to snorkel, I'm just saying, here's the process. I sit on this step and I put everything on and I stick my head in to make sure I can breathe. And, it takes one or two, depending on if everything's working or not, if your mask clogged, whatever. And then I push off, I'm fine. And I honestly don't think about a shark. I don't think about it.
Okay, I love that.
I'm good.
Yeah.
And like I said, I saw those nurse sharks, I'm fine. However, if I did see one in the middle of the water, like doing one of these, Shadow's going to send me. I'm running on water. I can tell you that right now. But
she becomes Jesus walking on water in that moment.
That quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be honest, I've never seen one other than those nurse sharks that were way down below. So it doesn't stop me. But I believe in God. I just believe. And all my friends will tell you. Because I have snorkeled at Turks and Caicos, but I've been there 4 times. Every single other person besides Terry or who's snorkeling with Terry has seen a shark. So if you snorkel with Terry, you're not going to see a shark. And I honestly think God just knows. Just don't do it to
her. Don't put a shark in front of Terry.
Just don't do it.
Universe, just spare Terry the shark situation.
Yeah. And I have peace with that, which just allows me to get in the water.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
have another irrational fear showing up. Like, uh-oh. So we're about to, Bria doesn't know that we're here, and her, okay, so we're at this hotel. This hotel in the middle of the desert is attached to this big sort of where people stay, like we said earlier, in their RVs and stuff. She's so close to this hotel that we're afraid she's actually going to hear our voices and know that we're here. And it's supposed to be a surprise. We're getting ready to leave soon to go to the spot where the proposal is going to happen that I need to film. I still need to test the drone. I don't know if the drone's even going to fly. I crashed it last time
There's
I flew
There's a bug
it.
In my drink.
There's Hold a bug?
On. Yeah, go on. Talk.
A good bug? Just, like yeah. protein?
Yeah, just a little one.
Okay, we're good.
I'm going to pick them out while you talk about
okay,
your
good.
Story.
So, yeah, I... and so they have a friend that they have the RV with here. There's three people that own the RV and stay here and share the spot and whatever. He's going to come back. He's going to tell them, like, hey, I'm going to run to the little store attached to the hotel and grab some beer for our little drive out to Fonts Point. And he's going to come around the back of the hotel and pick us up. And we're going to jump in his truck and hide in the back. Because she doesn't know that we're here filming nothing. And so what time is it? I don't want to get too close. I need to make sure we're ready. I think it's going to happen like soon. And I don't want to be not prepared. So my current irrational fear is that we're not going to be
it's
ready.
It's 2:44. I think we're okay.
2:44. We have another hour.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We're good.
All right. I feel like we're good. All right. Well, that's, you know, my irrational fear, the first time I've ever shared that with you.
The I bridges. Think. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Big fear. Every time. Every time I go on a pier, every time I go on a bridge, every single time.
I get the pier because, I mean, you know, and I think they build them that way to kind of go, well, they have to, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of go with the way.
But even when I was little, I remember when I was out there, I wouldn't step on the cracks. I would jump over. I step over all of the cracks.
Okay, what do you mean the cracks? Like there's a crack every other
yes,
piece of wood.
Exactly. So I would not step where the cracks were. I would okay. step just on the pieces of
I understand
solid
that.
Wood. I don't know. Yeah, I literally don't know what that's about. Like, Ever since I was as far back as I can remember, that's been how I've sort of operated around that fear and that. I don't know. And I'm still that way. Like, I'm in my 50s and I'm still that way. Do I need to look at that a little deeper? Is that anything I need to heal? Or is that a healthy thing? Is that, like you, is that a past life thing? I think it was just that initial thing when I was little, when my dad took us on the pier and it was swaying. And I was like, oh, no. This does not feel safe to me. And in my life and everything that I've been through, I've been through a lot of situations that have been really unsafe and really harmful and painful. And I think now I'm so sensitive to the things that don't feel safe. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. And what I was thinking was, you know, with the crack, so the cracks are fairly sizable.
Yeah.
Probably half an inch to an inch. You can see the ocean. Like if you look down, you can see the water, right? And that's your fear is you don't want to fall through.
So maybe it's that, this is a good one. So I didn't, it's not solid. It's not solid ground.
You could slip through.
It's not solid ground. Okay.
I mean, I'm just thinking, because I think that. Like, I could be down with that. Walking on a pier. You can see the ocean. I mean, if you look, you can see the ocean. You can see the water below you through the cracks. So maybe you just have a fear of like, well, you do. You have a fear of slipping or falling. And same thing, you slip through the crack. Like, you know, you could.
I just think it's going to crumble and I'm going to go with it.
And you're going to
that's
go
it.
With it.
Like, there's no way to recover from that. But what's really weird is that I don't have that same feeling on an airplane. Because if an airplane's going down, you're fucked,
you're
right?
Done.
I mean, you're screwed. Like, you're done. Like, there's no recovery, you know? But I don't have that feeling on an airplane. I love flying.
I do, too.
I love it so much. I love that I'm up and away. No one can get to me. My phone doesn't really work. I tried it.
Up and away.
Yeah, it's really where, and the noise of it, I just always get the window seat. I get
hit it.
Yes.
Back goes into the seat.
Oh, I kind of love it. I love everything about flying. Yeah, I love all of it. But I get the window seat so I can lean up against the window with my little pillow and I can sleep. And the motion and the sound puts me to sleep. Like, I sleep like mouth open, catching flies kind of sleep on an airplane. I'm like the embarrassing girl. next to you on the window seat that's like this up against the window that's just like, you know.
I don't like the window seat at all.
Oh, I love the window because I can lean up against it and sleep, and it has the best view. You know I like a good view.
I know. It does have the best view.
Yeah. I want to see out. I want to see the clouds. I want to see it all. But I also have something to lean up against where I can sleep, and I sleep like a log on plane, so I have zero fear about flying. Talk about if that thing is going to fall apart and you're screwed. A plane is the thing, right? Like, you, there's no hope right after that. There's no hope if that thing goes down.
Nope.
So I'm afraid of bridges, this irrational fear of bridges.
Which you could possibly still live through.
But not a plane. And I'm totally like, can't wait to get on the next flight and just fly and be up in the air and feel like an eagle in the sky and just flying through the clouds and the view and all, everything about flying I love. So I don't know where all that comes from, but yeah,
well,
it's very weird.
I mean,
irrational.
I think
again,
the
it's
word
irrational.
Is irrational. I mean, we can't explain it. It just is, and it's like, you know, you can't judge somebody, or
no.
And it doesn't stop us. You still travel. You still drive. You still go on a bridge.
Okay, so we're talking about. We talked about going on Amazing Race. And we have these irrational fears.
Are we back to this?
Yes, we're back to this. I applied for Survivor. I don't know if I'm going to get it. But Amazing Race, like, we've been talking about this with her irrational fears and everything else. Like, what the hell are you actually going to do on Amazing Race if we go on this thing? We should apply, number one. But if we do, I'm asking her these questions. I'm like, okay, so are you going to eat like crazy foods?
Because
no. I like have a, you know, like I'm probably not okay with that. What was your response?
I'm like, I am not eating Fear Factor freaking, what did I say? Is that what?
Okay, but what about a wheelbarrow full of bricks that we have to push 17 blocks?
No, that's not what you said. You said, what if we have like this huge load of wood or something that we have to like haul? I said, hello, you get the two best looking big ass men and you ask if they have a wheelbarrow or a wagon.
We can't ask for help on Survivor, on Amazing Race. No.
Okay.
We have to do everything ourselves. You have to like jump off cliffs with a bungee.
That's not happening. Let's just backtrack for a moment. So what I said to her was, I think I need to watch the show so that I see what I might be getting myself into.
There's dance challenges.
I'll dance all day long.
There's puzzle challenges. There's physical challenges.
How physical?
Physical.
I can do Grace physical. What are you talking about?
Like, you've got to like go through the mud in some freaking cow patties and shit.
I can do mud. I can do cow patties.
Okay.
I am not ziplining. I am not jumping.
You're not ziplining. Okay, so apparently I'm doing all the super sketchy adventurous shit.
What? Oh, I know.
Scaling
what
the side of a building with a bungee.
I am not scaling the side of a building. Nope. I told you that, and I said I'm not hiking Machu Picchu. Wait, I've had two cocktails. Bear with me a moment.
Machu Picchu.
Yep. I'm not doing that.
Okay. I'm doing all the hiking. What about?
No, the last one I watched, we have to do it together.
No,
so
these challenges are, you have to pick a teammate who completes the roadblock. There's roadblocks, and the roadblock has to be completed by one of the teammates.
Hence why I go back to, I need to watch a show so I know what I'm in for.
So the teammates have to do this. Hey, buddy. So, nice rig.
Wow.
Okay, I want to ride in that thing. Hello.
Hello, are you single?
Single?
Where was that sign?
Hello.
Isn't there a sign?
we have a photo booth for the whole wedding thing.
Oh, we're regressing.
Because we, you know, they're getting engaged, but for the photo booth, we have a sign that says, hello, my name is single.
Yeah.
That's what, we need that right now.
Okay, but no.
Okay,
so go on. Back to Amazing Race.
Back to Amazing Race. There are roadblocks that you have to do, and you have to choose who's going to do the roadblock, and it could be an eating thing, and you don't really actually know what it is until
you
get to it. They give you a hint of what the challenge is. There's a bit of a hint, but you don't actually know what it is because it's a little tricky. They play a little
play on words.
A little play on words in some of those, and you don't know exactly what it is until you get there. And so some of it, like the one of the last ones I saw, they had to stab little fishes, and you know how I am about like animal life.
So I could stab a fish. I can't eat it. I know you're sent. I know you're an empath. She can't do that.
Oh my God! I'm gonna feel everything the fish feels.
Shit. I'm talking fear factor, where you know they were blending worms and cockroaches into a shake.
Some of it you have to like. Some of the challenges are a little like that. Not totally. Okay, but if you're in a country,
that's where we end.
If you're in a country where you know, monkey brains are a delicacy. You might be required. I don't know, but
I don't know. Does it taste like chicken?
I don't know. How do I know? Tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken. If it tastes like chicken.
Maybe if we get our mindset in that, it tastes, like chicken.
Cockroach.
It's a chicken wing. It's a crunchy chicken wing. Okay.
Nope.
Wait. Oh, my God.
I'm not doing it.
All right. I don't know if this amazing race thing is going to work, but I think we'd be hysterical. I think we would be great on there because we're hilarious, but I don't know. What are our chances? Scale of 1 to 10, what are our chances of actually winning? Well, you said if we're going to do this, we're going for
the winning
jugular. We're winning. We're winning.
Yes, because
she's all, we're winning, but I'm not doing any of these kinds of challenges.
I know. You were him-hawing around. I'm like, oh, no. If we're going to do it, we got to win.
Okay, but if we're going to win, we have to do all the challenges, which could be some
Okay, well, we got to take one for the team, Dolly.
Take one for the team, Dolly. We need to apply.
Hey, all I can say is...
Let's apply and see what happens.
I'm going to take one for the team. How much money do we win?
$1 million.
That's all?
Yeah, this day and age, $1 million after taxes is...
No.
Nothing.
That's like $450,000. No.
No, after taxes? Girl, that's $220,000.
No, it's 40%.
Okay. You mean 450 to split?
Yeah, because after tax,
so that's $225,000 a piece.
That's not enough.
$225,000 for me right now for 35 days of fun and travel around the world. $225,000 would be a really good thing for me.
Well, it would be for
even
me
after
too.
Taxes.
I'm not
like
lie.
We would, and
I know I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know. I think people will love us.
Michelle, we're I gotta hilarious. Eat all that Fear Factor food. That's like cray cray. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna zip line and jump off a building?
I'm gonna zip line. I'm gonna jump off everything. I'm gonna do all the like. You told me you're like you're fucking strong. I'm gonna crush the physical challenges because I'm super physical for my size and my age. I'm really strong. So I would do a lot of the physical stuff. I can't. You're a great. Like you pick up dances so quick. You'd have
She's
to do all the dancing
me they
shit.
Do dances. They never.
Well,
did dances
I would
before.
Try. I could kind of. I could because a lot of the dancers are the dances are both people. So we would both have to pick up on it. But
dances
I feel like you'd
easy.
Pick up on the dance stuff way quicker than me. I would be super good in the strength stuff. And then there's like puzzle shit, memory stuff. We would both have an issue.
Memory? Oh, God. We could do it.
Okay, we could do it. I feel like we could do it. We're going to apply and see what happens. You never know. Let's throw our hat in the ring. Let's throw fear, irrational fear, and normal fear, and all the fear, any fear. Let's throw that shit out. Let's kick that to the curb.
I said I would show up. So if
she
we
would show up,
if we,
I'm out.
If we, swear to God, girl, really. So if we,
I always drink everything
quicker
than her.
If his cap were a cap, to get selected, I would show up.
I will show up too. I think we'd be hilarious. I think we'd be great. I think we would do amazing on Amazing Race. Would we win? I don't know. But we would show up planning to win. We'd give it all we got. Who knows? My fear of not being ready for when they show up for this engagement thing is kicking in. We got to go. We got to go get ready for this proposal.
Okay. It's going to be epic.
Epic. Okay.
And we're taping it. We're doing
all
of it.
Oh, we fixed up the room? Tell them what we did. What's the room about? The fantasy suite.
It's a fantasy suite. It's so cute. We can't show anything yet, though, because we're waiting for the proposal. But
we'll show you at the end of this what we did.
Well,
but
we'll probably post everything tomorrow.
Yeah. So we ended up showing up early, and I got them a room because they have an RV out here in the desert that they stay in. And we ended up getting them a room instead because the RV is with other people. And we're like, now it's your engagement weekend. We want you to have your own space. So we went into the room and we set it all up. We did rose petals and a heart on the bed, rose petals in the room, balloons, wine, you name it, candle, everything. And we did a card that says, if you should choose to forego your RV and stay as a newly engaged couple in the fantasy suite, use this key. And we signed it Chris Harrison. So.
Yeah, well, if you're a Bachelor fan.
Which my daughter is a... We've been watching Bachelor from day one. Her and I turned it into a drinking game. We pick who our favorites are night one to see if they make it to the end. And we're always like pretty spot on. Like, we've been watching this show from day one together. And so it's... And then when she met Steven, she had him start watching with her. They totally got into it together. So the fact that we're doing like a fantasy suite card in the exact verbiage as Chris Harrison, signed by Chris Harrison, is hysterical. I'm so excited.
The kicker is that she signed it
Chris Harrison.
Yeah. Because we're like sitting there going, how do we sign this? Mom, your tribe, your crew, your peeps. It's like nothing was really fitting. So we were copying something on Google, and I said, well, it's signed Chris Harrison. She goes, Chris Harrison? I'm like, perfect.
Let's sign it Chris Harrison.
Yeah. And they'll get a kick out of it. What the bummer is.
Okay. Well, the funniest thing about it is we have to end it with this. What was your idea to put on the pillow? This is the best.
What's it say?
Same dick forever.
Same dick forever.
Well, it doesn't say dick. It says same eggplant forever.
Eggplant emoji.
Eggplant. Yeah. Same eggplant emoji forever. And that is on the pillow.
Two mints.
With two mints.
And rose petals.
And a big heart rose petals random rose petals leading to the bed. Balloons everywhere. A bottle of wine. The bottle of wine is in a little thing that says pairs well with planning a wedding. And wine glasses that say he stole my heart. I'm stealing his last name. So we really, with shout out to Brianna, man. She just was great in helping us put this entire thing together. And she's the one who bought all the decorations for the room.
She did a great job.
Yeah, she did such a good job picking out the decorations. So it's a big effort for all of us to make this a super, super, super special weekend for my girl, my heart, my soul, my world. Oh, my God. I'm so happy she found her person who is. Adore him so much.
We all adore him. We all love Steven.
Yeah, we all adore him. He's like amazing. Can we clone him into a 6-year-old? 50-something-year-old.
We need a 60-year-old.
I need to clone him into a 50-something-year-old. He's just the most sweetest, kind, amazing, man. I just adore him. I'm so glad they found each other. He took me to lunch and asked me for my permission. He called my brother Dave and asked for his blessing because Dave has been sort of Bree is my daughter's surrogate dad since her dad was, really out of the picture since right after she was born. So it's been a really special time, and it's going to culminate today. It'll culminate on the wedding day, but today is a big day. And what he said to me is the wedding day is really for the woman. That's really her day.
Yeah.
He told me at lunch, he's like, this is really, the wedding is her day. Like, it's really, it's our day. It's our day. It's our big, but it's really about the bride. It's the bride's big day. The engagement is about, it's the man's big day. It's like the wedding day for the man. Yeah. It's his big day. He's planning everything. She's not involved in any of it. He's doing all of this, and he's been planning this for months. And he said, this is my big day, and he's so excited for it. He's been bad. Ring's been burning a hole.
Oh my God.
You called it. You nailed it. He's been burning a hole.
He's had the ring since when? Wednesday?
Yeah, he's had the ring since Wednesday, but he's been planning this and ordered the ring like a couple months ago. It took a while to get to it because he got her a flawless diamond. Flawless diamond.
It's beautiful.
And he's just, but on Wednesday, by Wednesday night, he's like, What did he say in that text I sent you?
He felt like he was lying to her, keeping her a secret.
I feel like I said you are keeping something a secret.
Yeah, I'm keeping something from her. I feel bad. I'm keeping something from her, like I'm keeping a secret. And it's like, well, you are. Because I told her. I fully expect, because she had texted me.
Yeah.
And it was vague. The text was vague. And I thought, oh, my God, he already proposed because he just could not handle waiting one more day.
He's got the ring in the pocket. He can't.
The ring in the pocket. Ah. Like, he just can't. He just can't. So when he texted her, I'm like, oh, yeah. And you
he's dying.
Said,
he's like, I'm
God.
So excited.
Terry said exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I said, my response Super was, cute. Don't buckle. And he said, never.
Yeah.
What a great message to end this with. Don't buckle.
Don't buckle.
Ever.
Don't buckle to your fear.
Don't buckle. Don't buckle, girl.
To your fear.
All right. So we
got to
go.
Fear.
We got to prepare for this proposal. If you like our show, love it, like it, share it, download it. Please give us reviews.
Save it.
We really need reviews. We need really good ratings. That would help us so much. So do it. Like it, love it, save it, share it, download it. Like all the things.
Comment,
love, comments, all of it.
Show us your love.
All love. Dolly, I'm out. I need to go again. Really, if
She's
you
out.
Follow us, you know that
Hello.
This is the thing. Like this happens. Like this happens.
And
bye.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, bye.
'Cause you're perfect, darling, just the way you are. So before you think to rip yourself apart, open up my heart and you'll find love, 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 love. Open up my heart and you'll find love. It will never grow old, even when we grow up. It's up to us to stop and smell each rose. They're the colors that we show, feeling that we trust, and it's the brush that we both carry. You don't ever have to look too far, you don't have to cover up your scars.